Welcome back, everyone. It's another episode of the Young Pirate Mentors Podcast. I am your host, Ezra. I do not remember what episode number this is, but we're back in the thick of a new set release. I mean, Kaldheim's pretty cool so far from what we've seen, which is all of it by this point. And joining me today in the cast, it's Ethan.
Hello. Again.
Again. Second episode in a row. Ethan is... this is episode number 3. I mean, you're now the closest that we have other than Charlie to another host, so... We also happen to be in the thick of finals season, so... Slow content flow? Question mark?
Sure, I mean, not available, sad face.
School takes precedence over magic.
Said who?
Says the world, unfortunately, but magic does not say so, and therefore has decided to release a great set from what we've seen so far. Why don't we start getting into this conversation about Kaldheim, unless you got anything else?
Nope.
All right, so let's start this off with some mechanics. We talked about this a little bit last week, but we will introduce this mechanic again. Ethan, why don't you tell us about Foretell?
So Foretell is a new way to cast spells, not cast spells, but kind of save spells for later. So you pay the Foretell cost, which in our example is Vengeful Reaper, which is 3 colorless, a black, Flying Death Touch Haste, Foretell for 1 colorless and a black. During your turn, you may pay 2 colorless and exile this card from your hand face down, cast it later for its Foretell cost.
Yeah, so the idea of Foretell is that you can pay 2 and toss into exile. And it's face down, so no one knows what it is, except for you. And then you can later play it on... Not this turn. It'd have to be a later turn.
Yeah.
But this actually is semi, like, a ramp mechanic. Because you can play Vengeful Reaper, which would normally be a 4-drop. You can foretell it on turn 2, and then cast it from exile on turn 3. So, we're going to see a lot of this toying... A lot of these foretell mechanics, probably a little bit more in limited than commander, which we will be talking about. Our next episode we'll begin our limited set reviews, but yeah, I think foretell is a very cool mechanic. Ethan, I don't know what your generic opinion is on this, but I think it's fine.
I haven't really
it doesn't do anything incredible.
Too much. I haven't seen it too much, like in. So it's like potential, you know. I don't know its fullest potential exactly. So I can't.
Right, we haven't seen any. I mean, Escape will be forever foreshadowed by Uro and Kroxa, but we haven't seen anything completely broken with Foretell yet. So I don't know. As this set rolls out next week, 28th, it releases on Arena. Hopefully, we'll be able to see some cool cards with Foretell. I know this is definitely making a big splash in Limited, though. Alright, I will read Boast now. Boast is an activated ability that you can only activate if a creature attacked this turn and only once per turn. So our example card is Fearless Liberator, which is 1 in a red for a creature, Dwarf Berserker, which has Boast for 2 in a red, create a 2-1 red Dwarf Berserker creature token, 2-1. So yeah, I really like this card in Limited. It is a repeatable token maker that you can use over and over again. So Boast is like it's just a weird activated ability, and it's essentially an activated ability that only, like, Boast does nothing, and it has no rules text attached to it. If you got rid of the word Boast, it just means you can pay 2 in a red and activate this ability only if this creature attacked this turn and only once per turn.
I think it's in some cases good late game or like a saver card. Like you can just swing in a few times if you don't have anything to play that turn, and then use the Boast ability and say, I'm done with my turn.
Right. I mean, it kind of is a non-bow with itself because inherently you don't want your aggro creatures to have to cost you more mana.
Right? Yeah.
Because your aggro creatures, you're trying to cast like hand dump, swing out a bunch. But what these boast creatures want you to do is they're often on aggro creatures that want to attack because you need to be able to attack to activate the boast. But then you have to pump more mana into it. So I think this is very much purely a limited thing, and I don't think we're going to see very many of these cards
kind of in Commander.
Right, yeah, it's a non-bow with itself. Alright, we also have a new enchantment subtype. This is new. Ethan, you want to talk about runes?
Yes, I've never read this before or seen it, actually, until now. But, so, Rune of Flight, one colorless and blue, enchantment or a rune. When it enters the battlefield, enchant permanent. When Rune of Flight enters the battlefield, draw a card. As long as enchanted permanent is a creature, it has flying. As long as enchanted permanent is an equipment, it has equipped creature has flying. So I'm guessing rune means that you can equip it to equip it to equipments.
Equip it to equipments. Yeah, you can put it on equipments or creatures. The idea is that if you slap it on equipment, then you can then shift the equipment around, and then the Rune of Flight will move with it. I think this is super cool, how you like can put the rune on a creature just to give it flying, but you can also put it on equipment to slide around later.
I think it's also really cool, but you can also put it on a land, technically.
Yeah, I'm sure someone's going to do that in Arena, accidentally click their land and it just gives their land nothing.
I wonder if they're going to add it. Are you sure about that? A thing.
Well, they better. Yeah, the reason why they said enchant permanent is so that you can put on a vehicle. So then it will gain flying only when it's a creature. It won't have flying outside of combat. Or when it's not crewed. And now we've got a returning mechanic. This is modal double-faced cards. They were introduced in Zendikar Rising, and they're back. And this time, instead of being, like in Zendikar Rising, there were lands on one side and something else on the other side. This time, all of the MDFCs are gods, legendary creature gods on their front side, and a signature spell.
Did you say on their fun side?
Hmm?
Did you say on their fun side?
No, on their one side. Yes, on the fun side. Or...
I mean, that wouldn't be wrong in most of
Maybe I said fun side, but I meant to say one side. Except, like, with the exception of this first one, which I'm way more excited for the back side rather than the front side. This one's Halvar, God of Battle, which we talked about. 2 white for legendary creature god, 4/4. Creatures you control that are enchanted or equipped have double strike. At the beginning of each combat, you may attach target aura or equipment attached to a creature you control to target creature you control. That's so confusing, but basically, if you can't just slide any aura equipment over, it has to be attached to a creature, and then you can move it somewhere else. And then the backside is Sword of the Realms, which is 1 and a white for a legendary artifact equipment. An equipped creature has +2/+0 and has vigilance. And whenever a creature dies, return it to its owner's hand. So this actually has a really cool combo in Standard. So if you're playing a Boros Warriors deck, you can play Sword of the Realms and Fireblade Charger, which is perfectly built combo with this card. Fireblade Charger is a red mana for a 1/1 that says whenever it dies, it deals 3 damage, or it deals damage equal to its power to any target, and also has haste as long as it is equipped. So if you equip the Sword of the Realms to the Fireblade Charger and you swing with it, it's a 3/1 with vigilance. If they block it and kill it, then it will bounce back to your hand and also deal 3 damage to something. And then you can replay it the next turn, re-equip it for 1 and a white. So every turn you can pay 3 mana and just have a 3/1 haste vigilance. And if they kill it, then it lightning bolts them and then comes back to your hand. So... You just have this unkillable 3/1 with vigilance that's constantly just beating in.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I've always read Sword of the Realms wrong, because I thought that when the sword died, or when the creature that was equipped, that equipped it to sword, died.
Died. Oh, return the Sword of the Realms. Yeah. No, it returns the creature. That's why it's so good.
That's actually pretty, that's good in that sense, like with the Fireblade Charger.
Right, I mean, because you can just loop that over and over again, and that's standard legal, and it will be for the next year. So I'm excited for this. I think I might try to build that deck. Becomes really nutty with either if you have another Halvar. If you have another Halvar, then you only need to pay a red mana for this whole loop. Or if you have Coil Blade Master, which gives your equipped warriors double strike, then you just have this 3-1 vigilance double strike. So, so that's pretty scary. And you could even run that with... Oh, wait, never mind. Halvar is 4 CMC. I was about to say you could run, like, a Lewis Warriors shell, but Halvar is 4 mana, so that doesn't work. We could go over all the text on MDSCs. It's mostly the same, except for the fact that now if you cascade into Valky, you can cast Tybalt, which is very confusing, but, Ethan, why don't you talk to us about Sagas?
A returning mechanic. I've never seen this before. Oh my gosh, no. So if you have not heard of Sagas somehow, it's an enchantment that when it enters the battlefield, you activate its first... What do you call it, Bill?
It's a chapter.
First chapter.
That's what most people call it, because it's a book.
First chapter. And it does something, like with Binding of the Old Gods, it says, destroy target non-land permanent and opponent controls, right?
Yeah. Okay. So it's 2 black and a green for an enchantment. It's all good.
Yeah. And then next turn, after your draw step, you go up to the second chapter, which would be search your library for a forest card, put it onto the battlefield, tap, and then shuffle your library. And then after that, the third one. But I think I liked Sagas when they came out, when they were in Theros. Right.
I mean, there were a lot of mechanics that we didn't really play when they came around, but I do remember the release of Sagas originally in Dominaria and then coming back in Theros. And I really like this card type. I mean, it's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's still a third chapter on Binding of the Old Gods. Or Binding the Old Gods.
Yeah.
I thought you would read it. gain death touch until end of turn. But yeah, Binding of the Old Gods is very strong and limited. You can pay 4 mana to immediately destroy anything, and then ramp, and then give your creatures death touch. I think this is also really good in Commander. Just being able to 4 mana unconditional removal that then ramps you. I mean, we do play Death Sprout, right? I mean, that's a pretty good card. And that's just kill a creature staple to Rampant Growth. And the rules for Sagas haven't changed. It's worth noting that you go untap, upkeep, draw, and then before the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, but after your draw phase, so it's like the Zone Saga phase, then you get the low counter. So that might come up. And then there's the big, big thing in this set. This is Snow. Snow is a returning super type that you can have a snow land or a snow creature. There's also now snow instants and snow sorceries.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and it's a super type, not a card type, so it has no rules, meaning, or function by itself, but spells and abilities may refer to it.
I can just think snowstorm. Snowstorm. Get it? Like, snow and storm. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
So funny, so funny.
I'm so funny.
I side troll 2 and a green for a snow creature troll warrior 2/3. You can pay snow, which is like a little snowflake. Ice-Eyed Troll gains +2/+0 and gains indestructible under turn. Tap it. Snow is actually, the way this works is you have snow lands, and so if you have a snow mana, it needs to be produced by snow land. And so you get there, in constructed, you're allowed to have as many snow covered basics in your deck. They count as basic lands, so you can have any number that you want. However, in limited, all the snow lands that you want to play, you have to draft them out of your packs, which there is a snow land in every pack. And it's either a snow covered basic or a snow cover, or
double
a
land.
Snow duel, yeah, which have the land types on them. So those are the most powerful. Common set of like lands like ever, basically. And now basic snow lands are now legal in all formats that Kaldheim is legal in. Okay, and we have 2 more things to talk about. Why don't you talk about Changeling?
So Changeling is a I guess also not an activated ability, but I guess an ability ish. It's a creature keyword. Type more so. But so we're talking about Mistwalker right now. But there's a lot of cards with this, and it's returning. So, Mistwalker, two colorless and a blue creature shapeshifter, changeling. This card is every creature type. So that includes Sliver, Bear,
Beeble, Total,
Goblin,
Sorokar, Rhino, Hippo,
Cat,
Squirrel. You get the point. But yes, this is every creatures with changeling are every single creature type.
One colorless and a blue. Mistwalker gets +1/-1 until end of turn. 1/4. So you can activate it 4 times before it dies. Well, 4 times and then it dies.
Yes, because everyone's going to do that once. And I guarantee someone's going to do that also. Accidentally kill their own Mistwalker by activating it too many times. It's a neat late game finisher. Just a 4-1 flyer. I mean, I think threat of activation is the big thing here. Like, your opponents have to watch out for it. Because you could, like, threaten, oh, I'm going to buff it, and then you don't do it. Yeah. But your opponent still had to play around it. Yeah, and then we also have a theme that is relatively new. I don't think we've ever really... we have seen this before. This is Ratoning. But we haven't seen it in these colors. So the second spell mechanic is now in black-white. So this card is Blood Sky Berserker, which is one in a black for a creature, human berserker. 1/1, whenever you cast your second spell each turn, put 2+1/+1 counters on Bloodsky Berserker. It gains menace until end of turn. This is a very powerful card. I mean, if you can do if you can activate this a bunch of times, it could become a 5/5 or a 7/7. Sometimes has menace. I think it's very strong.
Yeah, I think it is too, but I think that they should... It might be a little broken, but I think that they should add one that is drawing, because then you actually have the chance to, like, go do it every turn. Like...
Oh, drawing your second spell? I mean, that was a blue-red mechanic in Throne of Eldraine. I don't know why they didn't want that in that set, but you kind of have to put a lot of drawer enablers for limited.
Yeah.
For draw your second spell. I mean, I'm sure Wizards had a reason. We're not the co-designers here. Although, I do really like that theme. I mean, if you have the second spell theme and then also had, like, a second draw theme, that might be neat. I mean, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, that is all of the mechanics. And so we're going to dip our toes a little bit into limited. So if you were here for Commander,
womp womp.
We're not coming back to you. So, I mean, Commander's getting pushed a little bit because we got to get you all ready for the release of Cal Time on Arena. So we're going to be talking about competitive formats first. And then there are tons of Commander podcasts out here at this point, so you're probably getting your fix. And you've already listened to limited resources and whatever. We're just trying to give you our picks here. And this is our first limited set review, so if no one likes it, then we won't do it again. But, I mean, let us know. You can email us at youngpowercast@gmail.com. So let's talk about these archetypes, the two-color archetypes that we've got. And we're also talking about a little bit of flavor here, so... Like, there are 10 realms in Kaldheim. Each of them are a two-color archetype, and each of them are two colors each. And each of them have a tribe that lives on that plane. And so we've got, like, a semi-tribal set, and also, like, a 10 planes in one, if that makes sense. They're all connected by a giant world tree with a cute squirrel on it. Yeah. All right, so we're gonna talk about our first realm, which is Istvel. Istvel is a land of spirits, so there aren't really very many spirit tribal cards. There's no spirit tribal cards in this set, which I like spirits, but no spirits here. And the white blue's mechanic is foretell, so the archetype that you're trying to draft here is foretell, and it's a signpost uncommon is. If I can find it, is Vega the Watcher. Vega the Watcher is one white and a blue for legendary creature, Bird Spirit, 2/2, flying, and whenever you cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand, draw a card. So, it's worth noting that that each realm here has a signpost legendary. So this is also kind of cool for Commander. We're getting an uncommon legendary from every color pair, like we had in Dominaria. And we also have a signpost saga. So each two-color pair has a saga and a legendary creature. Vega's neat. We also got Renault the Everwatchful, which seems like which is the commander precon commander for Fortel. So I think that's going to be better than Vega. What's your opinion on Vega? I mean, pretty neat, but it's just a 3-mana 2/2 flying with a little bit upside. You have the potential to draw cards. I think I like this in limited.
I think it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, drawing cards is nice. Okay, yeah, we don't have to talk about the signpost sagas. We will talk about that when we talk about our multicolored cards. But, alright, why don't you talk about blue-black?
So, the realm is Karfel. And then we have Narfi. Am I pronouncing that wrong?
Narfi. I don't know. Narfi? No, it can't be. It's N-A-R-F-I.
Narfi.
Narfi. That is a great name.
I'm going to call him Narfi for now and forever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Narfi. There's no better way to pronounce it. Do you have this open? I can read it otherwise.
I do not. I'm trying to find
it. Okay. Narfi is 3 blue and a black for a legendary snow creature, zombie wizard, 4/3. Other snow and zombie creatures you control get +1/+1. And you can pay snow, so 3 snow mana, to return Narfi Betrayer King from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. This is a 4/3 that makes all your snow creatures bigger and can just permanently come back once you have three snow. It's just impossible to kill. It just comes back every turn. Unless you exile it, obviously. But
I think that's pretty powerful, and also
I think Narfi is very strong.
There's not that many exilers.
Right. The feed the soap in. It definitely is a downside for Narfi here. The
wasn't
common
there that one card that we rated that was like the worst in the set, and it was
Divine Gambit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good late game, I guess. I guess when you exile the Narfi, it feels pretty good, and then it feels really bad when they drop a huge thing off of it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it helps that this set doesn't really have that many great huge chonkers. But, like, imagine exiling their Narfi and then they drop the Coma. Which is the world serpent that makes all the coils.
Oh, I think I know what you're referring to.
We talked about it on the last episode. It's the one that can't be countered. Coma's just absurd. But, that is Karfel. Now we've got black-red, which the realm is Immerstorm. This is the plane of demons and berserkers. So all about demons and berserkers. The archetype is Sacrifice Aggro. And our signpost legend here is Cardo Doomscourge, which is 2 black and a red legendary creature, demon berserker. When Cardo Doomscourge enters the battlefield, until your next turn, creatures your opponents control attack each combat if able, and attack a player other than you if able. That's relevant for Commander. And then also, Cardo has, whenever an attacking creature dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. So it's like a Blood Artist or Zulport Cutthroat for attacking creatures? Oh no, so it is a Blood Artist for any attacking creature.
Yeah,
I like Carter.
I think he's good.
I don't think it's better than, like, Graven or that type of thing. The other, like, super slap everyone Rakdos commanders. So I don't know how good Carter is in Commander, but Carter is insane in Limited. Like, forcing all your creatures to attack, you can hold back a bunch of blockers and then eat all of their small creatures, draining them for a ton of life. And then you can have an empty, clean board to swing in your big, red, aggro, hasty, large power, low toughness things. Let's get through the rest of these realms. Ethan, you want to talk about Nottyold?
That looks like Nottyold, but okay. I'm going to call it Nottyold, or whatever you said. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Not. I mean, V's in Norse are pronounced Y. So I would assume it's pronounced Naughty Old.
Okay. Naughty Old. Archetype ramp aggro trolls. And then Sylvia.
Singing trolls from the singing the Justin Timberlake song.
Oh my gosh.
That is not what this is talking about.
Of course it is. We're gonna have trolls singing tribal. It's every time
you get
the drug.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Svella Ice Shaper is not a singing troll. Svella is one red and a green for legendary snow creature troll warrior 2/4. You can pay 3 mana and tap and create a manalith called Icy Manalith. So it's a colorless snow artifact that has tap and add 1 mana of any color. And then you can pay 6 red and a green, and then look at the top 4 cards of your library, cast a spell. Oh, you may cast a spell from among them without paying its mana cost, and put the rest on the bottom. Wow. So this makes you ramp, and then lets you then dig 4 deep and cast whatever you want.
That's pretty broken.
I mean, it's pretty good on your uncommon, pretty nice blocker. It's a 3 mana 2/4. It's pretty nice. Alright, now we've got Bredegarde. Which is green, white, go wide tokens, and it's humans. We're kind of running a little bit low on time here, so we will... I think we can talk about these signpost on commons next time. This is a very go wide humans creature deck that... you have it in every limited format. You're just trying to make tokens, buff them, go wide, play anthem effects.
Yeah.
Alright, you can talk about the next one.
So, Starhelm.
Stoneheim?
Or Star...
Stoneheim.
double spells, like we were saying earlier, by casting the 2 spells a turn with the counters and the menace trigger.
Blood Berserker.
But this is Angels, and...
Yeah, I mean, it's a focus deck, so when it comes together, it's really good, and if you don't have a way to refill on cards, this deck's just gonna die. Then you've got blue-red Spellslinger Giants that really wants to deal excess damage to things. It's kind of a neat deck. And then we have, that's Sotland, and then we have black-green, which is Skemphar. That's Graveyard Elves that's trying to do, like, a nice recursion thing. It's neat, but not a very synergistic deck. And then we have Red-White, which is Axe Guard, Equipment, Dwarves. That's kind of just, like, a red... It's just a Red-White aggro. That's, like, that Fearless Liberator type thing. It's just the Red-White archetype. I mean, you're not really... You can do the synergistic equipment, cool value train thing. But you're most likely just drafting efficient creatures to just beat face. And then you've got green-blue, which is Lit Yara, which is Shapeshifters, and it's a snow ramp deck, but it's really just a supporting... Like, Shapeshifters will slot into any deck, and you always want snow payoffs. So I think green-blue is kind of just a bridge in between red-green and blue-black. The cards in green-blue, they're, like, designed to be splashed and whatever. And just as my preliminary rankings for the archetypes, we've got, coming in first, we have the blue-black Karfel Snow Control Zombies. I think that deck is, going into release weekend, looks very powerful with Nofi and Trickster God's Heist and Avalanche Caller. And it's a very synergistic snow deck that you just need to make sure you're drafting a lot of snowlands. Ethan, what's number 2?
Ilsfell?
No. This is Stoneheim. Here, I have it on the wrong one.
Right here. I was looking at the side. Stoneheim, which is the double spells thing. Which, yeah, if you get a fast start and don't draw into bad stuff or get swamped, then you can have a good game.
Or Divine Gambit your opponent into a coma. and then we've got the red-white super aggressive dwarves thing that just wants to beat face, and I think aggro is going to be really good in a slow format that wants to be, like, foretelling lots of things. Then we've got Sotland, the Giants deck. Sotland, blue-red, Giants, which is really just, like, sort of an aggro deck that just wants to run good interaction. Lots of removal here. And then we have the Skemfall Graveyard Elves at number 5. Ethan, what's number 6?
Colors. Aggro Demons with the Rakdos.
Coder. Yeah, it's just an aggressive deck, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you might do the Steal and Sack thing where you Active Treason. It's not Active Treason, it's said Shackles of Treachery or something. And then you Village Rites the creature and that feels really good.
Because that's just...
That's a word. That's a word.
Yeah, that's what I was describing.
Lit Yara is coming in at number 7. I don't know. This one really counts. It just signposts are just very good, and it could come together pretty well. It's really just a snow deck. This Shapeshifter is kind of just for everyone else. And then number 8 we have the ramp aggro red green naughty old ramp things. Ethan, you can read number 9.
It's Fel, the Foretold Spirits Tribal with Vega the Watcher.
Yeah. I think Votel's fine, but it doesn't really have very many payoffs, the actual thing. So you really need Vegas. And then last we've got Bredegarde, which is go wide tokens / humans. It doesn't really seem all that great. Both of the signposts are pretty good, but going into release, it really depends. You need a lot of the best gear shieldmates and like ways to go wide, and there aren't a lot of sweepers. I mean, I think go wide could actually be pretty good. It's just while this just has to rely completely on creatures, it can't really grind out a late game. While the dwarves equipment can accrue value by slapping a bunch of equipment onto a big creature at the end to finish stuff off. What are your opinions on what you think the best color in this set is?
Color combination or just color?
Just color in general. Like, what are our preliminary color rankings for limited?
I mean, I'm not that educated in it, but I would say if I were to get back into MTG Arena, I would probably try some red shenanigans, red white maybe.
Yeah, I think red looks really strong because it's like Foretell in general is just a very slow mechanic, and a lot of the stuff like the snow takes a long time to get off the ground running. So in what looks like a very like slow format, I think red is going to be very good. I'd agree with that. I think black is also very strong. It has really good removal in this set. And also just like slots well into any deck. It's a very good second color. If I'm not going to go with black, I'd have to go with blue because it has 3 really strong removal spells, which blue doesn't normally get. It is with the at common. There's like Escape the Realm or something, which is just Foretell into the Royal without drawing a card. And then there's Cage the Monster, which is Bubble Snare, but you have to take life equal to that creature's power for just a blue mana. And then there's Raven Form, which is blue artifact removal too, and creature removal. Gives them a 1/1, but it exiles it for 3 mana. I think I'm actually gonna go with blue. Blue looks quite strong. I'd have to agree with you. So I think maybe it goes blue, then red, then black, then white, then green. Green really does not look great in this set. There's nothing. Yeah. This is 2 sets in a row now where green is like severely underpowered and limited, but we also play a format where green is the best color, so I'm not complaining. I think this should be pretty cool. And we'll be talking about individual cards in the next couple episodes. Ethan, do you got anything else before we get out of here?
Play Magic Arena, unlike me.
You can get that. You can play. We're just waiting for this on mobile.
Exactly. I've been waiting to keep making it go longer. They just released it on Android. I'm so mad because I can't get Android. Or they did like the pre-whatever on Android.
Yeah, it's like an open beta. Yeah. Which is weird. They're like trying to test it out. I mean, once this releases on iOS, I mean, they've got it. They're okay. I'm gonna say the H word, but Hearthstone was great on mobile. I mean, it's not amazing. I'm sure it sucked a bit lately, but it's been a relatively stable mobile client. So, I think if Wizards can be like Hearthstone, then it should be great. I mean, I'd enjoy having more devices to play Arena on rather than just the computer. But
yeah, same.
Yeah, that just about sums up the episode. I mean, I think we all gotta go back to whatever short episode as we have to get back to studying for finals and doing other stuff. But it was good to get an episode in with you, Ethan. I think I'll have to talk about this with Charlie. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but you're basically a host now. I mean, anyone who's on an episode two episodes in a row, you're a host. So everyone, you can think of Ethan as a host. And if you are really mad at us making Ethan a co-host, which I don't know why you would be, you can email us at youngpyrocast@gmail.com or leave us a 1-star review, but actually don't. Please leave us a 5-star review everywhere you
want. So mad at me. Just like, I wanted to be one.
1-star review. Why does Ethan get to be a host but I don't? From random stranger on the internet. This is definitely what's gonna happen. So yeah, you can email us at youngpyrocast@gmail.com and you can check us out wherever you're listening. Tell a friend, please. That is the best way to listen to help out the podcast. Yeah, that basically does it for this episode, and we will see you all next time. We'll see you all later, guys. But bye. What did I say? What was that last word I said? See you all later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. I can talk.